This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode number 105 of the Still City Insider podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jeremy Ritz, alongside Mr. Jim Wexel. And back with us for the second consecutive week is Roy Countryman. Roy, welcome back to the show. How are you today?
Got some sunshine out here in southwestern PA, so it's a good day. I'm not going to complain whatsoever.
Awesome. Well, we definitely have got some good weather after a lot of rain. Jim, how about you? How you doing? I don't want to leave you out there.
I'm just watching the grass grow because that's what we do at draft time. After it's over, we all go cut our grass.
Okay. All right. Well, the grass is growing, right? It is springtime, which means we are another week closer to the NFL draft, and our discussion is going to continue today. Last week, we talked about the offensive side of the ball, prospects that the Steelers are interested in. And this week we're talking defense. So, Roy, let's jump right into it. What do you perceive to be the Steelers' defensive needs in this year's draft?
So, I think it's twofold. I think we can look on the entire side of the defense. We know that's where the Steelers have invested a ton of money. Out of their salary cap has been on the defensive side of the ball. Cornerback opposite of Joey Porter Jr., I think, is a need. We've seen, you know, Levi Wallace is still a free agent. That second cornerback spot is still up in the air. Shannon Sullivan is also a free agent at this point. We don't really have a nickel corner as well. So you have two kind of uncertainties going into the draft here. You have some young pups behind these players last year. You know, Corey Trice, who was making some plays before he went down with an injury. And then the intriguing Darius Rush that we picked up from the Colts last year. But if you're dependent on them guys, that's not a good way of going into the season at this point. So I think cornerback is really the elite tier here and the needs on the defensive side of the ball. I think we could also see some reinforcements.
Let's start with cornerbacks. Let's go by need.
Okay. Sounds good, yeah. Jim, from Toledo. This guy is an athletic freak, and he has really good ball skills and instincts at the catch point. He had four interceptions in a game this past season. He is a smaller school guy, so maybe you question the competition level here. But I like him better than Terrion Arnold, who's probably going to be the other bona fide first-round pick amongst the corners. Then you had a guy like Nate Wiggins from Clemson, who's a little lean. He's under 180 pounds, but he has great deep speed, transitional skills, can carry guys in the hip pocket. Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin both were at his pro day at Clemson, so you always put your antenna out there where they're around. So Wiggins is a guy in that first, second round. He could go at the late first round. And then a guy like Kool-Aid McKinstry is in that same area. He's the other corner from Alabama, maybe not as athletic, but maybe a little bit more technically savvy. He reminds me of Deshaun Townsend, only maybe with a little bit more pure speed. He has great instincts. He's not afraid to matching up right at the line of scrimmage as well. Can play inside or out. All four of those guys would be in the first, maybe that early second round discussion here if we're talking about players.
And Roy, do you see any of these guys? You mentioned a lot here, DeJuan Wiggins, Kool-Aid McKinstry, which, man, that's an interesting name. And then Mitchell, do you see any of those guys being able to step in and start week one, or is this going to be a process where they're going to have to, you know, get some experience before they can be inserted into the starting lineup?
I mean, depending upon the talent level we have, if we're going to sign a veteran, I'd love to see him go out and maybe make a play at Stephon Gilmore at this point in free agency. But I think with the amount of play that they've had at the SEC level, especially both the Alabama corners and Wiggins at the ACC, you'd feel real comfortable them coming in, at least competing to be starting early on in their career. Maybe a guy like Mitchell, maybe, like I said, the level of competition, you have some pause, but the upside and the ceiling is a little higher than the rest of these guys. We're looking at a pure nickel, though. The guy that I want in the second round is Mike Sainristil from Michigan. He's a converted receiver. Has the feistiness, the timing ability of blitzing up, and the ball skills to make some big-time plays. He reminds me of Mike Hilton when he was in the prime with the Steelers before he left for Cincinnati. He's a leader among men, and you're just really seeing the defensive side of the ball rally around him late in the season last year with Michigan, and we all know they won the championship last year out there.
Oh, okay, Roy, let's unpack some of this stuff, let you rest. That was a pretty long diatribe about the cornerback positions, but there's a couple questions came up along the way.
Sure.
You said you like Quinyon Mitchell better than Terry and Arnold. Why?
I like the ceiling. The ball skills are a little better at the catch point with Mitchell. I like his instincts in zone better than I like it with Terry and Arnold. Terry and Arnold might be a little better pure man corner. I just think that the size is a little better with Quinyon as well. He's a better athlete, better ball production. The production's there as far as the ball skills. Terrion Arnold's a better pure athlete in a straight line, but Mitchell has both the, you know, transitional skills, the vertical jump better than Arnold. So it's kind of a catch 22.
Mitchell has size and speed. And if we're looking at the combine, he's the better player.
Yeah.
Man, you watch the SEC, Terrion Arnold's pretty good.
I mean,
if that's what the league's thinking. And the Colts, you know, they keep saying the Colts are going to draft the corner at 15. The Colts' style is take the athlete. If you're going to leave me Terrion Arnold, I personally think he's better because he's just a better player. Now, Quinyon Mitchell has got the better upside, no doubt.
Yeah.
But I mean, you have no problem with Terrion Arnold, though, do you?
No, this is really, you know – it's picking, you know, the 1A, 1B. These guys, I have them ranked like I think 10 and 12 on my board. They're not that much different. So it's real close. It's splitting hairs on who you like a little better. So, but for me, I think there's that drop off. Like, I'm not comfortable taking Nate Wiggins in the first round. Guys that are under 180 pounds as corners, even though he has shown the feistiness and tackling and wanting to come downhill, that I'm out in the first round on Wiggins.
It's 4-2-8. And, you know, he got down to 178. Was it 178 or 173?
It was 173, I believe.
So he obviously got down and then gained weight. That's the maneuver these track guys pull. They lose weight for the combine so they can run the 40. Then they gain it all back. Don't run the 40 at pro day, but lift.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how they play the game anymore. They want that big 40 number because we all know when it you know, with all these events being on TV, 40 times sell tickets and make your stock rise amongst media members and fans out there. So water cooler talk, you think, oh, 4-2-8, I want that guy. Well, hold the phone here a little bit. Cornerback's more than just running in a straight line. We need guys that can transition and carry guys, you know, horizontally across the field. You know, that's why Antonio Brown, even though he ran a 4.58 or 4.60, was able to get separation on guys that ran 4.3s. So,
okay. So, Sainristil, you said second round. Say they can't get one of those two guys, and I think we agree on Wiggins. Go to another position if Wiggins is staring at you. I don't know about Kool-Aid McKinstry. Is he a legitimate number 20 guy? I mean, he would surprise a lot of people, but could that be pulled off?
I wouldn't take him at 20. I'd feel better in maybe a trade back scenario. That's at, you know, 28 to 32, maybe 35 range. I think he's going to come off the board. He don't have the pure athleticism at 20 that I would be comfortable taking there. Mm-hmm. He has a solid ceiling. I think you kind of know the player he's going to be coming in the NFL, but he doesn't have that much growth potential from 20 that I just wouldn't feel comfortable there.
Okay, so you don't get one. Say you don't get one in the first round. You're going to need one by the third round. And we talked about this the other day. A nickel is where you can get a guy in the third round. And yeah. I said Sanderstone. And you're saying second round. And I'm hearing second round too. But I mean, he's 5'9", 4'5", 6". Was that his 40 time?
Yeah.
And yeah. He played slot for Michigan. I know he played some outside, but. Do you take that in the second round? Really?
To me, he plays better than what his time speeds are. He's that guy that the testing to me doesn't matter as long as he's not running a 4.8. His transitional skills speak to themselves, plus his background as a wide receiver. He played 2 years with Michigan as a receiver before he transitioned to the slot. So he's playing defense, running the routes for these guys. His tackling ability was tremendous in his first season as a nickel, and then this year even got better. You can see the ball instincts are improving, so he still has that upside as well that I like. Yeah, the 5'9 might give me pause, but you know, 10 years ago, yeah, we're not talking about this guy probably until the fifth round at the first. But being that we're in a passing league now and you're in three wide receiver sets, the nickel corner is basically, you know, replacing the nose tackles most of the time on early downs in a passing league. So these guys are getting 70-75% of the snaps. And I think as far as slot receivers, he's able to keep step to step with them, even though he ran that in the 40 time. He's a way faster guy on tape.
Okay, Jeremy, one more. I got one more question for him about corners, and then you can take it to the next need. But Cooper DeJean. Now, I asked Chris Carter on the Locked On podcast yesterday, in which I appeared, whether it's DeJean or DeJean. And you had said DeJean. I know it's DeJean, but it's 99% of the DeJeans in the world. I mean, spell that name and pronounce it that way. So don't give me any crap for calling him DeJean. We won't give you any. But anyway, does he belong at 20? I mean, I looked at the numbers, and his numbers are so close to Minka, the track numbers, the combine stuff.
Yeah.
He's so close to Minka. And then I thought about Jason Sehorn. And, you know, the same height. And Jason Sehorn was 10 pounds heavier and much slower.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's like Minka. Can Minka – do you draft him as a cornerback? Or do you draft a safety at 20? Do they need a safety that bad? Talk to me.
Listen, I love Cooper DeJean, the prospect. I don't draft him as a DeJean. I always call him DeJean. I call him DeJean because he reminds me of
Musty. Everybody in the world pronounces it right.
DeJean. Let's go with it.
He'll come out that first press conference and say, "Hey, look, everybody, I gotta correct y'all."
Yeah. Hey, us Yingers, we talk however we want. That's it. But hey, if he's that good, we already seen him in black and gold. Hopefully, maybe if we get him at 20. I love the versatility. We've seen them in the previous years, the Steelers, especially the last year. They wanted to go with that three safety look in the dime package. If you were able to add this guy to a package, we're already talking about a need at nickelback. We're talking about, I don't think we need a safety outside of maybe a late day three pick. I don't like him as a corner. I think he has some transitional problems, just mostly because he's more of a zone corner than he was a man. He has that great straight line speed, but I have a little bit of pause as a pure corner when you're asking him to transition right off of a jam at the line of scrimmage. So for me, at 20, if I'm drafting a pure corner, he's not my guy. If you want to talk about a versatile chess piece like Minka was coming out of Alabama, yeah, I'll take him at 20 if we're going to kind of float
about versatile chess pieces. So what are you saying? Are you saying 20, yes or no?
Yes, I'll take him at 20 if you're going to let me deploy him from nickel and then drop him back at safety and let Minka kind of roam around a little more. Yeah, I'll take him at 20.
Do they need that at 20 more than an offensive tackle?
No. That's where it comes back to where what do we have on the board? Are you going to be more comfortable with your versatile chess piece or the first center off the board or the third or fourth tackle? If you're telling me I can get the third or fourth tackle, forget about Cooper, whatever your last name is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but – I hear nickel cornerbacks are very expensive. That Mike Sammer still is a second rounder these days.
Yeah. And there's a lot of guys, though, if we miss out on the first two rounds, don't panic. There's guys like Chris Abrams-Drain from Missouri. He's a feisty guy, but he's also a little lean, like Wiggins. Has a lot of ball production. The guy that I really like in the fourth round range is the guy from the CFL, Quantez Stiggers. He's more of an outside player. He's quite raw technically wise, but I think his ceiling's, you know, way up there. I think that's a guy, you know, 3 years down the line, we're going to be asking how he went in the fourth, fifth round range, just because he didn't go to college. He kind of went a superfluous route here outside of the normal realm.
Awesome. So definitely lots of names to pay attention to there at the cornerback position. And Jimmy, you're schooling me every week on these pronunciations. Dejean, I wrote it down phonetically so I don't mess it up.
And hey man, I got roasted in the comments. They said to retire, old man. So,
oh man.
I mean, I it's not that uncommon of a mistake, right?
Yeah. Hey, I was calling him Dejean.
Me too. His nickname could be Mustard anyway.
Yeah.
Enough with the condiments humor. But Roy, you had two great columns on the Insider there about the defensive line position, linebacker. Looking at those two spots, obviously we'll talk about both, but what do you see is the greater need for this team, and start there and go through those prospects?
Yeah, for me, the next need is defensive line. I think we had a really quality pick in Benton last year, adding him to this fray. I think we need a guy to play off of that. He's more of that, you know, firmer nose tackle five technique player. Now we need more of a penetrating guy, a three technique, and it's going to be in that second, third round range. I think that first, third round pick is where we might see a guy, you know, like Michael Hall Jr. I think he has a lot of upside, explosive first step quickness. Really good upper body strength. And we all know the propensity that what Steelers like from Ohio State players. This guy has that pressure ability that can move the pocket and play off of maybe that bigger defensive tackle beside him in sub package situations. I think we're looking for a guy maybe to add to the rotation, not take over a starting spot essentially. But if we want to just add a running mate as far as a pure power player, with all the length in the world and all the intangibles, traits wise, Mason Smith from LSU is my guy that I want in the third round. There's a host of players here in that third round, late second, third round. Ruka Aurora from Clemson, Dwayne Carter from Duke. They're all similar type, lengthy power five technique guys, can push down into the sub packages, into three technique, but they don't have that explosion and the first step quickness that they're getting off there in the third round. So just a couple players in that third round. I think that's going to be the sweet spot for where the Steelers want. If they want to take a swing a little earlier, a guy like Brandon Fiske from Florida State, I think he's one of the most explosive players at the point of attack in this year's draft. He's a rolling ball of knives is the way I described him in my report. He's fun. He's frenetic, but he only has 31 inch arms. That's why he's not a first round pick. If he had 32 and a half inch arms, forget about it. You're talking about a guy in the first probably 15 picks. This guy, love his tenacity.
Let me interrupt you a little bit on that. You know, because the Steelers are interested in him.
Yeah.
Man, I put on the tape. I don't care. 31 and a half inch. It looks like 36 inches to me, man. He can play. He's a rolling ball of knives. Never stops. He's got some real twitch to him. Strong. He kind of looks like he's crazy too.
Yeah.
I watched him. Hey, I know he's a white dude, and I know I'm like those guys that connect every white guy, and then you know Jason Sehorn and Cooper Dejean. You know.
Yeah.
But sometimes you just think of those guys, and I thought of Steve McMichael the whole time, the old Bears. I mean, that's a bad dude. I want him. Now, Byron Murphy, I understand the love, but I liked Fisk better. So Fisk isn't a possibility at 20, is he? Or is Byron Murphy a possibility at 20?
Byron Murphy, to me, I don't want him at 20. He's a unique player because when you watch tape of him and his run-stopping ability, he has a weird move that he goes to. He's only about 6 foot tall. He'll drop to one knee and anchor and run defense and two gap, which for a guy that's only like 290 pounds, it's kind of unique to watch it, but it works. Even his coaching staff in Texas were like, well, we can't tell him not to do it because he's been two-gapping against guards that are 330 pounds here. So it works. And his first step quickness is there. The reason why Murphy's up higher, probably in that 15 to 22 range, is his ceiling yet. He's still a young pup. He hasn't grown into his man strength yet, whereas Fisky's more of a finished product, which, Jim, you're making a great point. I would take Fisky for our roster. We have a very veteran-laden roster. We need to win now. Fisky's my guy. If I want to put him right in the rotation, you know, give Cam Hayward a little bit more time off on third downs, Fisky's going to be the guy that can probably get you five sacks this year in a sub-package situation with the pressure we have coming outside. So if you're looking at a guy that you want to add in the second round, Fisky's going to be your guy. And the other intriguing thing is this was a guy that transferred from Western Michigan. There's another guy that's been making a lot of news, Marshawn Nealon. It has absolute stone hands, more of an edge player. And when you watch the tape of both of them guys on, it's interesting football to watch. It's a lot of mean throwback style pass rushing along the interior.
Well, that reminds me of Darius Robinson. You know, he's an interior guy. They moved outside, and now he's a big 4-3 end, and he looks great as a 4-3 end because he'll get that pressure.
Yep.
But I don't see the Steelers having a need for him at all. I know he was a visitor, but it just doesn't seem to fit. I like him. Give me Fisk better, Fisk earlier, and Nealon the same way. And you know, what's a pass rusher mean to them? Now the second round, which you had Chris Jenkins, and I liked him at the combine. I really impressed with his interview and his combine times. But man, I like Michael Hall better as a ball player. So is Michael Hall a second round possibility over Jenkins?
He is a possibility because Michael Hall he's kind of that second, third round range. It depends on when the run goes with defensive linemen. Because this year's draft, you're going to have to get a guy probably in the first three rounds if you want a difference maker in the next 2 years. Once the third, fourth round range comes, you see a drop off in talent level. A lot of the guys that were in that range went back to school. Michael Hall is also one of the youngest guys in this year's draft class. He'll just be turning 21 on, I believe, draft weekend. Yeah. So the growth potential is there. And you mentioned too, Chris Jenkins' upper body strength is probably one of the best in the draft amongst defensive linemen. And he has that bloodlines with Chris Jenkins, his dad, and Colin Jenkins, who is also a D-tackle for the Jets. You know, Steelers love bloodlines. You know the work ethic's going to be there. He would be one of those power-type defensive linemen to stack alongside Benton. But if you want that pure pressure and penetrating type, you want Michael Hall because that first step is way better than what Chris Jenkins is.
Great.
Jeremy, I just want to remind everybody that Roy's stuff is appearing. He breaks all this down by position, and it's all on paper. So when the draft comes, you can see his value boards and how all of this aligns with what we're talking about. We're kind of covering this quickly here, but yeah. And we have a special at Steel City Insider this week, 60% off. Thursday, it starts 50% off. So get your deal now. And then we're going through draft weekend.
Yeah.
Okay. That's our sell for the day, Jeremy.
All right. Well, I like it. Nice way to fit it in there. So defensive line, we're keeping an eye on Fisky, Jenkins, Mason Smith, and then Michael Hall, potential second round possibility. And then that brings us to the linebacker position. I'm big inside linebacker guy, right? I probably talk about inside backers more than I need to, but this draft doesn't seem very deep at that position.
No, it's really not. And I'll be surprised if we see a linebacker go in the first round. If it's going to be, it's probably going to be one of the last three or four picks in the first round. The guy that's most likely to see that would be Edgerton Cooper from Texas A&M. He's a long, lengthy guy, great speed. I believe he ran a 4.3 at the combine here. He has 34-inch arms. He can run sideline to sideline. More of a downhill guy than a coverage backer to me. He kind of gets lost a little bit sometimes wanting to go for a big play rather than playing, you know, zone sound coverage there. But he does have that speed to be able to cover linebackers in man. But I like his aggressiveness going downhill more than anything. Now, let me talk about a guy that's one of my favorite players in this entire class is Peyton Wilson. He just came in for a visit today to the south side of the Steelers. Now, he's had double digits surgery since his senior year of high school. That's why we're not talking about him as a first round prospect. Double digits. I believe it's 10 to 11 surgeries, both shoulders.
He's so skinny.
Jim, I don't care. You watch the tape. This guy is.
I did watch him, and it's very good. He's very exciting. I like him better than Cedric Gray, and I really wanted to like Cedric Gray.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you talk about Nate Wiggins. We could talk weights on paper, but I talked to him at the combine, and I talked to Peyton Wilson. It was the same thing. These guys are too skinny. Hey, 50 years ago, this draft, they drafted a too skinny linebacker named Jack Lambert.
Yeah.
So, but he wasn't hurt. He was never hurt all the time. This skinny kid might get hurt all the time.
He might. But we also drafted a guy from Wisconsin that was had a lot of injury questions coming out of college. Now, he didn't have double digits. But this guy, I will give him credit, though, Jim. His last 2 years, though, he hasn't missed a game. So it was early on his high school. His last 2 years, he hasn't missed a game. So
and
maybe that
you,
was.
He can cover a lot better than Cooper, and I love Cooper.
Yeah, yeah, Cooper's a good player, but I like Wilson's tenacity, playmake ability. It said if he had no injury questions, you're probably talking a top 15 player here because he has.
I don't know if his tape is that good. Edgerrin Cooper, 6'4". Like you went through the Edgerrin Cooper. He is you can salivate over that guy, and I know Tomlin probably is because that's his style. That's his run and hit Mac backer right there.
Yeah,
and you figure with that speed and that range and those long arms, we can teach him how to cover.
Right. Just like Lawrence Timmons, his first pick ever. We can teach him just about everything we need if we got that pure athleticism. But I don't know. I like Wilson better myself. If you made me sit down and take a linebacker in the first, two rounds, I'm probably going to take Wilson. But I just love his total package of playmaking ability. And hopefully, I hope he stays healthy because if he can get to stay healthy in the NFL, he's going to be a playmaker on the defensive side of the ball. But
Do you remember the last NC State middle linebacker captain who had a great impact on the Steelers?
Yeah, his name is Bill Cowher.
Bill Cowher's breakout moment was NC State played Pitt in a bowl game at the end of Bill Cowher's career. And Pitt, of course, passed on Bill Cowher, a local Pittsburgh kid. Mm-hmm. Bill Cowher wanted this more than anything. So he had a fiery pregame speech. It just fired everybody up. And Cowher said, it fired me up. And we went out and Cowher had a great game and they whipped Pitt. And they say that was the first time that Cowher got the idea that maybe I can do this for a living, talk to players before the game.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Well, that would definitely be a fun little story to tell if Wilson's name is called to the Steelers during the draft. But
sorry, Jeremy. I brought it up to Wilson at the combine. Mm-hmm. He said, "Yeah, I met Cowher. He came to talk to us, and I told him about the speech, and Peyton was appreciative of."
Nice.
I wondered, and I didn't get to ask him. I tried to get to ask him at the end, but they said no more questions. Who was he named after? Was he named after Peyton Manning or Walter Payton? Or just Peyton Place? I don't know.
I couldn't answer that one. Yeah. I'll have to do all some right, digging for you, Jim.
Time. Go ahead, Jeremy.
All right. Well, Roy, you definitely dropped some knowledge on us today. I definitely feel like we are much more educated on the defensive prospects that the Steelers are interested in and potentially could take coming up in the draft. And that's going to do it for episode number 105. Jim, anything to add before we wrap up here?
No. Hit our sail and watch Roy go. We got the ass kicker column coming up. The odds are coming up. And today's a pretty cool column on the 74th draft. So, we got a good sail going on. And then we take you through the year. The spring practices will start right after that.
Wonderful. Awesome. So make sure you check all that out at the Steel City Insider. Give us a like, subscribe to our channel on YouTube, leave a comment, and we will see you back here for episode number 106 of the Steel City Insider Podcast. Have a great week, gentlemen.
Okay, guys.
Thanks, guys. Okay.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.